Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
When it comes to children who don't have the wherewithal to determine their own bedtimes, their own sugar intake, no, children absolutely have a right to have their bodies protected.
If science is not humble in the sense that it recognizes the profound limits of its own knowledge and the profound limits of what it can know, once science loses that humility, then it becomes dangerous.
We have to pretend in all of these ways because what we really want is what we want. I don't want to have a kid. Of course, I've already engaged in unreality because I pretended that what I was doing was not the child-making thing.
At the end of the day, the missional church can say, yes, we've made disciples, but no, actually they haven't. They've just manipulated the Bible for the purpose of having people achieve very narcissistic and self-focused goals in their life.
This is Joel from Nebraska, and vocal musician Love Issues Etc. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us.
So you have a school that is an auxiliary of your church. Where does that leave the pastor or pastors of your church? What role should he have? What role must he have, not only in the church, but also in that school? Should he be an administrator? Is he the same thing as one of the school teachers there? Or are the teachers the same thing as him? Are they ministers of the word in the same sense that the pastor is a minister of the word? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our conversation with Pastor Peter Bender continues on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Pastor Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and principal catechist to the students of Peace Lutheran Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. He's also director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you again, Todd.
We've been talking about these two governments, the two realms, kingdoms. Review for us a little bit what those are, and why do you say that the Lutheran day school occupies both?
Yeah, that's a good question to start off with today. We have discussed in great detail the distinction between the spiritual and the secular kingdoms. The spiritual kingdom, strictly speaking, is the ministry of the gospel and the sacraments, through which God, the Holy Spirit, reigns in the hearts of Christians, creating faith, sustaining faith, nurturing that faith by the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus. So the governing of the heart through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments is what the spiritual kingdom is all about. The minister of the gospel resides squarely in that spiritual kingdom as an agent of Christ. In his stead and by his command, he is proclaiming the word of God, saying, "Thus says the Lord." He is preaching the gospel. He is baptizing. He is forgiving sin. He is judging doctrine. He is distributing the Lord's Supper. He is guarding the flock from false doctrine and so forth. That's the spiritual kingdom, and that's what the office of the ministry in the spiritual kingdom is all about. The secular kingdom, or the left-hand kingdom, as it sometimes is called by Lutherans, is how God reigns, governing the external man, believer and unbeliever alike, in the society, in the culture, in the family. And there God rules not in the heart, as he does in the spiritual kingdom, through faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit in the heart, but in the secular kingdom, he rules through the force of law. The civil use of the law, as we sometimes call it, that curbs the gross outbreaks of sin, that rewards those who do well, that punishes those who do evil, and that guards and protects the law-abiding citizen from criminal and the wicked person who would rob their stuff or rape and pillage and so forth. So the secular kingdom is governed by the law, and everyone is in that secular kingdom, and God governs there for the sake of his church still, but it is the force of law that curbs the outer man and provides stability in the home when parents exercise that kind of authority. It also provides stability in the secular society and culture through the force of law, and that is also a benefit to the church, the spiritual kingdom. So those are the two kingdoms that we talked about, and how the Lutheran day school finds itself in both realms, in the spiritual kingdom to the extent that the gospel is preached, the sacraments are administered, there's catechesis in the Word of God for the transformation of hearts, but also in the secular kingdom, to the extent that all of these various subjects under the first article of the Creed are taught and explored, and then especially the environment where by the rule of law governs to maintain order and discipline so that learning can take place and so forth.
So the church and the school, talk a little bit about the relationship. Of course, a Christian school or a Christian day school can exist apart from a specific congregation or maybe in connection with multiple Christian congregations, but there's always a connection, isn't there?
Yes, there certainly is. And I make the claim that church and school support each other when we're talking about the Lutheran day school. And how is this done? Well, if we understand correctly that the spiritual kingdom is about the preaching of the gospel and the ministration of the sacraments for the sake of faith, from that standpoint, the school as an academic institution that teaches reading, writing, and arithmetic, it has no relationship to the spiritual kingdom. But when one understands that in a school, language is taught, like phonics and spelling and grammar and reading and writing, this is not only essential for all citizens in a society to know, to be able to function, but it is also an essential tool for the minister, for the catechist, and for the Christian. So you and I both were taught the English language and grammar and so forth when we were growing up. That enabled us to be able to function at seminary. We couldn't have learned the scriptures in the original Greek or Hebrew if we didn't have that foundation. We wouldn't have the skills and the tools necessary to be able to write coherently and then formulate a sermon and much less deliver that. So you can see how the academic disciplines in this area of the language arts, for example, serve well the proper work of the spiritual kingdom. So when we talk about church and school supporting each other, this is one of the ways in which that takes place, where the tools that we receive in the secular kingdom, the tools that we receive, you might say, under the first article of the Creed, enable us as ministers and as Christians to learn the faith, confess the faith, and operate within the spiritual realm. There's also this aspect of how church and school support each other. First of all, the school in the secular kingdom provides the environment in which the Word of God can be preached and taught unhindered. If you extrapolate that out into the secular society, if our society breaks down, if there's anarchy and chaos because the rule of law has deteriorated in the secular kingdom, it will be very difficult for the church in her ministry to do her work. It's not that it's impossible. We know of the church thriving, although it's a remnant, it's extremely oppressed in those regions down through the centuries that have known such intense persecution and so forth. But to the extent that the society and culture is maintaining order as opposed to disorder and chaos, or as opposed to anarchy, there the church is able to do her work. I've also used this same point when it comes to individual pastoral care. The society and culture, the secular kingdom, really ought not to be in the business of showing mercy. I mean, there may be the judge has a latitude in sentencing when someone is found guilty of a particular crime. But I really, as a pastor, need that judge to mete out the judgment of the law with all of its force in the secular kingdom so that I can speak the gospel and call the person to repentance for their sin in the spiritual kingdom work that I'm called to do. If the secular kingdom doesn't do its job in the force of law, it'll be very difficult for me to do my job. You know, you take that particular case. I have had parishioners that have been arrested and rightfully charged and convicted of a crime and imprisoned. And I needed the secular kingdom to do their work. We sometimes muddle this up and think that, well, you know, if someone is repentant and confesses their sin and is forgiven, then they shouldn't have a sentence where they go to jail for the crimes that they have committed. And actually, nothing could be further from the truth. The law must be allowed to be the law, even in the civil and secular sense, so that the gospel, in all of its sweetness, can proclaim a hope and a comfort and a salvation that transcends the judgment of the law that has even been meted out in the secular realm. So if you put that into the context of a day school, law and order and discipline, punishment, even such things as detentions and so forth, demerits, they all, while not part of the ministry of the gospel, they are the way in which order is maintained in the secular kingdom, so to speak, so that the work of catechesis can take place. So we talk about that prayer, you know, that the gospel, the word of God, would not be bound, but have free course and would be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people. This is why we pray for the secular kingdom at large, as well as locally in our homes and in our local communities and in our schools. It is for the sake of the church, so that the church's public ministry might not be hindered, and we might lead peaceful and quiet lives. Now, we can flip that around, Todd, and see how the church also serves the secular kingdom in the broad general sense and also locally in terms of a Christian school. Where there is faith in Christ created in the heart, which is the business of the spiritual kingdom, it cannot help but create individuals in families, citizens in society, to be God-fearing, contributing people for the welfare of their neighbor. In the family, their brothers and sisters, mom and dad, and so forth, that Christian child who is brought to repentance and faith in Christ, out of their faith in Christ, they learn to love their parents and love their family members and their siblings in the right way. So also, you extrapolate that out to a Lutheran day school and then Christians in society. The best citizens are Christian citizens who have a vigorous, vibrant faith in their Lord Jesus Christ, because then out of that faith, there is love for the neighbor. So in this way, the spiritual kingdom also supports the secular kingdom. I love this quote on faith that is in the Formula of Concord in the Lutheran Confessions. It's a citation by Martin Luther, but he says of faith that it is a divine work in us that transforms us and begets us anew from God, kills the old Adam, makes us entirely different people in heart, spirit, mind, and all our powers, and brings the Holy Spirit with it. Oh, faith, Luther says, is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, so that it is impossible for it not to be constantly doing what is good. Likewise, he writes, faith does not ask if good works are to be done, but before one can ask, faith has already done them and is constantly active. Faith is a vital, deliberate trust in God's grace, writes Luther, so certain that it would die 1,000 times for it. And such confidence and knowledge of divine grace makes us joyous, meddlesome, and merry toward God and all creatures. This the Holy Spirit works by faith. Then therefore, without any coercion, a man is willing and desirous to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything for the love of God and to his glory, who has been so gracious to him. That's just a fantastic quote. And it shows how what the gospel is about when it's proclaimed is to create that kind of faith. And where that kind of faith is created, well, it can only benefit everyone in society in the secular realm, because faith is active in loving sacrificial service for the neighbor. And this is seen in the school also. So I have our teachers, you know, that they will discipline and call to account students for having misbehaved or not gotten their work done and so forth. And at the same time, we have the context in which they can then also come to their pastor and confess their sins and receive the absolution and be strengthened in their faith and be renewed by that to continue in their vocation as students.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. When we come back, I want him to go into a little more detail about how that work of the church can only benefit the Christian day school. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, "From God Can Nothing Move Me"? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Clear, concise, consistent. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Major A.J. Vogel, United States Army.
And this is Pastor Josh Leigaber of Trinity Lutheran Church, a confessional liturgical congregation located at Leesville and Fort Polk, Louisiana.
If you ever find yourself at Fort Polk, we invite you to join us to receive the gifts of Christ in word and sacrament.
For more information, visit us on Facebook or at trinityleesville.com.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com. That is lutheracademy.com.
We're talking with Pastor Peter Bender, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Peter, I want you to go in a little more detail into something you said right before the break. You said that when the church is doing its thing, when it is ministering to people the forgiveness of sins that Christ won at the cross through word and sacrament, it can only benefit the work of the Christian day school.
That's exactly correct. And I think that Lutheran day schools are more necessary today than they have ever been in the history of our country. And part of the reason I say that, Todd, is that there has been such a divorcing and prohibition against any kind of Christian involvement in the life of our public schools. I went to public school until I went to Concordia River Forest. I was a public grade school student. I was a public high school student. But I had Christians. Some of them were Lutheran, some of them Roman Catholic, some of them other denominations, who were my teachers. And where we could actually talk about the gospel, talk about faith, talk about the Word of God in the classroom, they weren't proselytizing, but it was clear that it played a vital role in their conception of themselves as teachers, and it also shaped the kind of morality and position of both justice in the classroom and also mercy in the classroom that they were called upon to give. The example that I gave about the judge in the civil realm not being in the business of showing mercy, while that is true, the Lutheran day school teacher or a teacher who is a Christian has one of the most wonderful positions given to them by God, because as a Christian, they exist in both realms. You know, the civil judge really has to render judgments on the basis of the law, period. But here the Christian day school teacher, or even the Christian who is serving as a teacher in the public realm, has the capacity to show the art of law and gospel in how they deal with their children. And so while in the day school, you know, if our teachers discipline a student and the student comes to me for confession and absolution, that in no way means that in the classroom, if a child is disciplined and punished for what they've done, that if they confess to their teachers, that their teachers don't forgive them. Of course they do. So there's the showing of mercy and love at the same time as there's discipline. And I think all of that in Christian categories and the influence that the Christian worldview brings to us and to our life has been excised so much of the time from the public sector and from public schools, which is why I say it makes the Lutheran day school so much more vital today, perhaps, than at any other time in our nation's history.
So talk then about the relationship, because none of this kind of does itself. This is all administered through the office of the Holy Ministry, the ministry of the word and the sacraments that lead to all these other things. What then is the role of the pastor? Because he too also lives in both kingdoms. What is his role there?
Well, I think this is a very important question. And let me begin it by saying that my folks, especially who are charged with handling a lot of the temporal administration of our parish, like we have a deaconess intern, we have a lay parish administrator, we have a financial clerk, we have a weekly administrative meeting because there are nuts and bolts of temporal affairs that need to be dealt with, and I'm a part of that. But they all kind of know that the more my time gets co-opted by those kinds of administrative things, the crabbier I get. And I'm thankful for that. I'm not thankful to be crabby, but I mean, I'm thankful for this deep-seated passion that I have for what is at the heart of the office of the ministry, and that is teaching the Word of God, which leads then into understanding the minister's proper place, his proper authority and responsibility. Professor Kurt Marquardt encouraged us to wear the collar as pastors, not simply when we are officiating on a Sunday morning divine service, but throughout the week. And part of the reason he did is because he said it reminds you what your proper work is. Preaching the gospel, teaching the faith, administering the sacraments. So you have the words of St. Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching and so forth. And what that is all about is that he's wearing that collar because he is called to say, thus saith the Lord. Which means he really needs to back off in the temporal administration of the parish. To be sure he is there to make sure that nothing is done that is contrary to the gospel. That nothing is done that is contrary to the Word of God and our Lutheran confession of faith that rests squarely upon the Scriptures. He is also there to ensure that temporal affairs are done not only with faith in Christ, but out of love for the neighbor. I often say, in terms of the temporal administration of a parish, and it extends into the day school, if there is division, where there's a 51-49% kind of majority-minority viewpoint on something, and it is verging on being contentious, I want to put the brakes on and say, let us think about this further. Let us be considerate for those in the minority opinion. This is neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture what you want to do, but what is commanded is that we live with one another in love. So the pastor is there when it comes to temporal decisions, whether it's a board of education, whether it's a congregational assembly, a voters' assembly, to not only make sure that things are not done that violate the Scriptures or the Word of God or the doctrine, but also that they're done in love, with consideration for the weak. It is much better in the church to build a sense of consensus than it is to insist upon majority rule. So when you talk about the minister, his proper work of preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments, he is also there to guard against the unbridled flesh that in all of us wants to run roughshod over our neighbor.
It's our series on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Here's an example of the kind of Lutheran day school Pastor Bender has been talking about. Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Faith Lutheran School offers in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. Learn more at FLSPlano.org. That's FLSPlano.org. On the other side, how does a pastor do his duties without getting distracted by the day school? Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at issuesetc.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Mustard Seed and Leaven, Parable of the Weeds Explained, three more kingdom parables, Treasures New and Old, and the Beheading of St. John the Baptist. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
You eat his body and you drink his blood? That's the same surprise that many people had when they first heard about the Christian faith and the practice of communion and partaking of Christ's body and blood from the altar. The November issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about the Lord's Supper, our fellowship together, our fellowship with other church bodies, and the practice of close communion. Pick up your copy today to learn more at cph.org/witness. You can also visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-Centered Worship, Confessional Theology, Lutheran Community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school, an ongoing conversation with Pastor Peter Bender, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and principal catechist to the students of Peace Lutheran Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. So, Peter, talk about how the pastor carries out the duties that have been given to him by the congregation without, as you say, getting distracted by the day-to-day of the Christian day school.
Now, I think it is very important that schools and congregations have, that run schools, that they have clear job descriptions, clear chains of authority. It's also why I wrote this extended essay, The Lutheran Day School, Its Theological Foundation and Practice, so that they understand clearly what their office and responsibility is. And so I think that the pastor attending Board of Education meetings is critically important to observe what's going on there, to offer insight on the basis of the Word of God. If he has expertise in a particular area that is not, strictly speaking, part of the office of the ministry, he has to be very careful. Hopefully, he's asked for advice. And at sometimes he perhaps needs to hold his advice unless asked to do so. I've actually had occasion more than once where I have literally taken off my collar in a meeting because I want them to understand clearly this is just my opinion and it is not a thus says the Lord kind of statement. In the Augsburg Confession, the last article of the Augsburg Confession is Article 28. And Article 28 talks about the authority of bishops. As you know well, I mean, during the Reformation, bishops were given both spiritual authority by divine right from God, and they often possessed lots of temporal authority. So the spiritual sword and the temporal sword. And what Article 28 of the Augsburg Confession does is say, look, by divine right, in terms of the office of the holy minister, the office of bishop, they have no other authority by divine right except to do what? To preach the gospel, to forgive sins, to judge doctrine, to condemn doctrine contrary to the gospel, to administer the sacraments, to exclude from the Christian community the ungodly whose wicked conduct is manifest and that there's impenitence, but only do they do any of those things by the word of God? It's solely by the word of God. They have no other sword to marshal against those things and by which to do that work. If they have temporal authority, which people like presidents of our universities in the Concordia system, who may also be ordained ministers, if they have temporal authority, they have it by human right. Which doesn't mean it's necessarily bad, but the human right and the divine right has to be carefully distinguished. In the Lutheran day school, where a congregation operates the day school, I think it is critically important that the pastor maintain the proper position and that that dominates. If he is given any temporal authority as an administrator, it must be engaged in very cautiously so that nothing is allowed to usurp the proper work of the pastor. I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, if the pastor is also the principal or the headmaster, and the faculty reports to him as they would to a boss, someone who oversees them, here that pastor then would have the authority to discipline them as a worker, but he is called to hear their confession and forgive their sins. This is where the two come in great conflict and why, especially at the elementary level in a congregation that runs a school, I would strongly caution against having pastors in that role of headmaster, principal, or school administrator.
You would focus the pastor's work rather on the parents of the students. Why?
Yeah, that's exactly correct, because here the pastor is there to help equip the parents to do the work God has called them to do. And you've heard me say in the past that the pastor's access to minor children is through their parents. And I have often quoted Dr. Kenneth Corby, my teacher in catechetics, who had the expression for us pastors, teach the parents, bless the children. And what he meant by that is that parents, Christian parents, have the primary responsibility for the rearing of their children, not only temporally, but also spiritually. If the parents don't bring their children to baptize, I cannot rush in and baptize them apart from the authority granted to me by those parents. Same thing with catechesis. My success at being able to catechize children, no matter how wonderful a teacher I might be, my success and capacity to be able to catechize them relies upon the support of the parents to do so, and establishing a partnership with them. If I have parents who are committed to the Lutheran faith, who are committed to the small catechism, who want Christ and the word of the gospel to be the one thing needful and received by their children, boy, we can do wonderful things. And this is, again, an example of, since the Christian parent is in both kingdoms, how both kingdoms serve and support each other in their respective areas and spheres of influence and responsibility.
So what then is the relationship? Because you say optimally you have administrators who would serve the day school rather than asking the pastor to take on an administrative role. What is his relationship to those administrators?
His relationship with those administrators is that they should see themselves as in diaconal offices, and that's how he should see them. Now, what is a diaconal office? Well, there's two prongs to that, Todd. Auxiliary offices or diaconal offices in the church exist, on the one hand, to support the ministers in their proper work. So in Acts 6, for example, this is often cited as an example of that, where the apostle said, it would not be right for us to leave the ministry of the word and wait on tables. And so the seven were chosen so that the apostles could be about the ministry of the word of God and prayer. And so that list of deaconess intern, lay parish administrator, the financial clerk, administrator, and office help for our even our Concordia Catechetical Academy, all of those are auxiliary kind of diaconal offices that allow me the freedom to do my work, because it gives me the time, not bogged down in all of the other temporal administration and so forth. And then my relationship to them, like a school administrator, is to give them counsel on the basis of God's word in the areas that I mentioned before. You know, what I said about the pastor sitting in on Board of Education meetings to make sure that nothing is done that is contrary to the word of God, contrary to the gospel, and that Christian love is maintained, that same kind of advice and counsel is what the pastor is called to give to his principal or his headmaster and so forth.
So talk about the office of the ministry in relationship to this entire scenario we've been discussing as a sacred trust responsibility that has been given to him by those who've been called to occupy that office.
Yeah, a sacred trust. Isn't that an interesting kind of phrase? It actually has long-standing use, and there is a public trust or a sacred trust extended to the pastor from God, and the congregation, the baptized faithful, ought to expect their pastor to do that work, which by divine right, God has given him to do. And in the same way, the Lutheran Day School teacher serving in loco parentis, that Latin phrase, which means, you know, in the place of parents and by parental authority, is also extended a public trust and a sacred trust. They operate as extensions of parental authority. And it's beyond their own personal inclinations and ideas and so forth. There is committed to them certain responsibilities. And here, the pastor has the sacred calling and public trust to make sure that teachers are taught the Word of God, that their office, though an auxiliary office, though not strictly speaking the office of the ministry, but one which is nonetheless supportive of the ministry, and then also supportive of parents in their God-given vocations, which is also what a diaconal office is, that the pastor is there to help and assist and see to it that they are properly grounded in the Word of God for the administration of their office, that public trust. So there's a public trust and a sacred duty given to each, the pastor in his office as minister of the Word, and the Lutheran day school teacher in her office in loco parentis, assisting parents in rearing their children both in the faith and also to be God-fearing citizens, contributing in the society through all of the myriad of academic subjects that are taught.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. He makes the particular point that a day school teacher is not a minister of the Word. Why? We'll find out next. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Thanks to everybody who has financially supported the new offices and studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We recently surpassed the 90% mark on a $200,000 match for our new building and the renovations. Learn how to double your gift at issuesetc.org/new studios or by giving us a call 618-223-8385. We're talking about the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. Peter, you spoke about this a moment ago, but why do you make the particular point that the day school teacher is not a minister of the Word?
Yes, you'll probably get replies on the talk back and comment line, I suppose, on this. But part of it is, I think, the confusion grounded in our history. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you think about the Saxon immigrants that came over here in the 19th century. A huge part of that move to the United States was to avoid the forced participation with the Union churches and the Union schools in Saxony. So education was front and center what they wanted. And when they came over here, who's the most educated? Who's the most able to teach Latin? Who's the most able to teach the important subjects in the humanities? Well, it was the pastor. And so many of our schools early on, the pastor was the primary teacher, the pastor was principal, headmaster, everything all rolled into one. And since he was in the office of the ministry, there was often then a kind of confusion that came into being between what is the office of the ministry in the strict sense and what are auxiliary offices, or is there an auxiliary office? And I have maintained for a long time that our understanding of the office of the holy ministry and then the office of day school teacher should go back to the fourth commandment, and particularly the large catechism. This is the way Herbert Lindemann, who was one time president of Concordia Teachers College in Addison, Illinois, and then moved to River Forest, Illinois, how he understood the work of preparing teachers to teach. He said they're not in the office of the ministry. They are rather in an auxiliary office in support of parents, that their authority is derived from parents. When this is understood and when this is maintained, even though, as you mentioned, there's been confusion in our midst, there can be the potential for a wonderful harmony between the pulpit and the classroom, between the congregation and the Lutheran day school, where you actually have teachers who would say, I'm a Christian, and I teach the Word of God, and I pray with my children, and I sing with them in the classroom, just like mom and dad would do with them around the dinner table at home as they read Bible stories, as they recite the catechism, as they sing hymns and talk about the faith. That's a holy calling that all of us have. But I'm not a minister. I'm not an ordained pastor. When that's understood, then they, like parents, hunger and thirst for a pastor who will teach them, who will give them everything that they need to be able to teach their children. And so the pastor is there to teach Christian parents so that they can catechize their children at the family altar at home or on the dinner table. And that same kind of culture then is taken into the Lutheran day school. And it's just a wonderful treasure to have teachers who want to be taught. They're not clamoring to get into the pulpit. But by the same token, I don't run into their classroom to teach science. I may have expertise in that area, although this pastor has to confess he doesn't particularly. But even if I did, that's not my proper work. And here again, Christian love may invite the pastor to do this, that, or the other thing because he has a particular gift or talent, or he was trained as an engineer prior to going to the seminary. Wonderful. Those kinds of things can be done. But they're only done by human right and in love and by invitation and kind of a mutual conversation and consolation of Christian brethren. But I've just seen such a wonderful blessing that's come out of an entire faculty and headmaster who look to the pastor, teach us the Word of God, that we might not only faithfully teach it in our classroom as extensions of mom and dad in teaching the faith and in praying and so forth, but also, and this is very important, so that we bring the Christian faith into our teaching of the other subjects so that it's integrated and we're able to evaluate things in history and things in science on the basis of what the Word of God has to do. And for the pastor to do that effectively, he has got to give his full-time attention to the study of the Word of God, to the study of the Lutheran confessions, and to grappling with the greatest questions of our time in an attempt to catechize, to apply the Word of God to all of his people, and certainly here to give it to the Lutheran Day School teacher.
Not to belabor the point there, but what would you make of the notion that has become very popular in our circle that, well, the pastor, of course, has a divine call, but so does the Lutheran Day School teacher, or the principal, or the administrator, for that matter.
Yeah. In Ephesians, St. Paul says that when our Lord ascended, he gave gifts to men. He gave some to be evangelists, some apostles, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry. And that passage has been wrongly interpreted where the word teacher is applied to the gift of day school teachers. There was no such thing at the time that Paul wrote those words. Those words are descriptive of the office of the ministry. How is the pastor a shepherd? How is he a pastor? He is a pastor by teaching. My teacher in the Lutheran Confessions, Dr. Robert Preuss, boy, did he hammer this point home to me. And I think my work in the area of catechesis, which is all about teaching, not in an academic sense, but teaching for the sake of faith, really rests squarely on his counsel and his fervent advice to us and teaching to us to see the office of the ministry as chiefly about teaching the Word of God for the sake of faith, the teaching the doctrine of the gospel. And so when that is done, and when that is done faithfully, then all Christians in their vocation flourish. So this question that you asked, you know, about the pastor as a divine call and the day school teacher as a divine call, well, let's try to make some proper sense out of this. When we talk about by divine right, that means that Jesus, the New Testament, has instituted a particular office. In that sense, only the office of the ministry exists by divine right. And congregations must have the office of the ministry. They may have other auxiliary offices that they establish in Christian love to assist the office of the ministry on the one hand, or assist Christians in their God-given vocation on the other. But the only office that exists by divine right that the church must have to be church is the office of the holy ministry. If we wanted to talk about day school teachers' divine call, that would only be by human right, to the extent that a public trust is extended to them to, by the church, in love, to assist Christian parents in their God-given work. In that sense, I mean, parents have a divine call. They have a divine call because they are fathers and mothers in the teaching of their children. That doesn't mean, though, that they are in the divine call of the office of the holy ministry. So also here, teachers who assist parents in their God-given role in loco parentis could be said to be exercising divine authority, but they do so as extensions of parents. But this should not be a demeaning thing in the slightest. It's rather something that gives great freedom, because the church down through the centuries has established auxiliary offices for assisting the office of the ministry on the one hand, and, as we said, assisting Christians in their God-given vocation on the other hand. And all of this is for the sake of the gospel and the teaching of the Word of God, that it might flourish.
So you say that the task of the Lutheran Day School is simple but profound. How would you summarize it?
Yeah, it's simple but profound, isn't it? It's simple in the sense that the Lutheran Day School exists to help parents pass on the faith to their children, and to help the parents rear their children so that they can be God-fearing citizens in the society and culture. That's simple. It's simple to say. But it's profound because it has such dramatic impact and effect on the lives not only of Christians and of the church, but of the school at large. You know, children learn both the Christian faith and then how to live in this world which God created. So it is the commitment, I say, of a truly biblical and Lutheran school to provide to Christian parents an environment that is faithful to the Word of God and the Lutheran confessions on the one hand, that's the spiritual kingdom stuff, which will also support and complement their work as parents. And children are gifts to us, and He's placed them in our hands, and He's given us this wonderful responsibility, not only for their spiritual upbringing, but also their temporal welfare. And so out of faith in Christ, we learn to live then in love toward the neighbor, in acts of self-giving sacrificial service. And it's why we give them a good education in all of the basics of the first article gifts, so that out of faith in Christ, they can serve their neighbor in love.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, you say that the real school choice that parents must make is bound up in that responsibility they have to not only educate, but to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why do you say that?
Luther says it's given to parents to pass on the faith to them and then to teach them everything that they need to know. And if they can't do it, if they don't have the ability, they still have the office. They still have the authority. So they might enlist a headmaster, a teacher. And so I say this is the real school choice. It's not whether or not you go to school or you don't go to school, you homeschool or you send them to a Lutheran school, but there is no choice in the matter for Christian parents on whether or not to teach their children the faith and bring them up to be God-fearing, contributing citizens of the society. How they do it may be the choice, but there is no choice in that this is their responsibility and this is their calling, and our Lutheran schools need to be there to offer that assistance and support for those who send their children full-time to our schools or homeschoolers who do a lot of it at home, but the Lutheran Day School and congregation is there to support them in every way that they can.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and principal catechist to the students of Peace Lutheran Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin, and he's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll continue our series on the words of Scripture. We'll be talking with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever about the word righteousness in the Bible. We'll get a review of Season 2 of the TV series The Mandalorian with Pastor Ted Geese, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus Chapter 1. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow Him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.